Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Anyone ever taken a ride down PCH, you know, Pacific Coast Highway, Highway 1? Yes, some of you have. I'm sure many of you have at some point in your life. It's a beautiful scenic drive, along the ocean. Some people don't care for the winding and the curves, but the scenery is, well, it's pretty special when you're driving down it. Well, I want to tell you a story about a trip I made up PCH 21 years ago or so. I'd gone with some friends down to San Diego to visit a buddy for spring break who went to UC San Diego. And by the end of the week, my friends Travis and Jason and I were supposed to meet their parents in Pacific Grove, in Monterey area, for a couple of days. So we're in San Diego and planning to leave the next morning to drive to Pacific Grove. And when these, you know, three knuckle-brained 18-year-olds decide at midnight-ish, hey, we're already up. There's no point going to sleep. Let's leave now and, drive through the night. You know, because that's what 18-year-olds do. And then we get toward L.A. and make another bad decision. We think, hey, it'd be pretty cool if we took PCH, you know, the whole way up to Monterey. Like I said, you know, it's a beautiful scenery. You know, I love PCH. I think it's a beautiful drive. But that drive is a lot less beautiful and a lot more scary when there's no light. Yeah, driving PCH in the middle of the night adds a level of, you know, concentration to your driving. But, you know, ignoring the imbecilic decisions of an 18-year-old for the time being, it also takes away the immense beauty of that drive when you can't see the ocean, the beaches, the cliffs. You can't watch the sun and the clouds and the waves crash. It's just dark. We could have gone on I-5 without the curves and been a lot faster too. And what's the point of all of this? Why am I, you know, talking about that event? Well, in our gospel today, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." And then he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Christ Jesus has made you his own. He has marked you with the cross of Christ. He has taken away all of your sins. He has illuminated your heart, enlightened you by the Holy Spirit with his gifts. Christ Jesus, the light of the world, has now said to you, followers, believers in Christ, you are the light of the world. We live in a world that is evil and corrupt because of sin. In the shadow of sin and death and in darkness. And it needs to be enlightened. It needs to be illuminated. It needs to see clearly the beauty of our Lord, of his love, of his mercy and grace given to us through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world is on a dark, winding road leading to destruction. It needs light to shine. It needs Christ. But maybe the part that throws us for a loop when we think about this passage is that part when Jesus tells us that the world needs us. That the world needs us. It doesn't simply tell us that Jesus is the light of the world, though that's there in the gospel, in the scripture, and very true. But he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. We might think that it's a little presumptuous of Jesus. How can we be the light of the world? How can we be the salt of the earth? You know, we're a ragtag, you know, group of sinners looking to the true light of the world. I think about myself, for instance, you know, immature stories aside, I'm not worthy to be called the light of the world. I'm not worthy to stand before you to be the proclaimer of God's holy word and the shepherd of his people. I don't have stuff all figured out. I've often reminded myself of, you know, or I'm often reminded of Moses and his concerns about stuttering and public speaking and all of those kinds of things, or some of the other great people of the scriptures that were called and used by God despite themselves. By the way, do you know St. Augustine, maybe you're familiar with St. Augustine, one of the great champions of Christianity, one of the best theologians of all time. You know, he was converted to Christianity because he heard preaching by the great orator St. Ambrose. Well, I have no delusions that someone's going to be blown away by my skills in rhetoric and say, oh, I think I'm going to be a Christian now. Instead, one of the first things I said to this congregation at my installation were the words that we heard in our second reading there from St. Paul. I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm a sinner. A cracked pot. Not a crackpot. A cracked pot. A jar of clay that struggles with sin and temptation, like all of us. But one whom God has illuminated, enlightened through the waters of holy baptism and the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to shine his light in this sin-darkened world. And even through the cracks, light shines through. And that's how it is to be with all of us. You are the light of the world. Not because you are perfect, but because you are in Christ. Blessed, as we heard last week in the Beatitudes. Blessed, not because you're always poor in spirit and meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but because Christ is and you are in him. And here's something that I want you to hear this morning. Jesus doesn't say to you, start being salt and light, or this is what you must do, or you need to become salt and light for this world. Rather, Jesus says, you are salt and light. This isn't law language, this is gospel language. This is who you are by grace through faith. So we might hear these words, you are the salt of the earth, or you are the light of the world. And it might convict us because we don't do the things that we should. But this is the identity that Christ has given to you. This is who you are because you've been washed, because you've been cleansed, because you've been pardoned of all of your sin. Because you are a child of God, because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. You are salt of the earth. Earlier this week in our class about different denominations on Wednesday evening and Thursday mornings, we discussed striving for the sanctified life, that is, this life of holiness, striving to be more and more Christ-like, to be what our Lord has called us to, which of course includes loving our neighbors and shining the light of Christ in this sin-darkened world. But there's an important thing that we talked about, and that is that we're not striving for these things in order to become, you know, good Christians, in order to become children of God, in order to become holy in the sight of God. But we're striving for these things. We're striving to follow the Lord and do what he's called us to do, not in order to attain something, but because of who we already are in Jesus Christ. Christ is saying to us, be who you are. Be who you are by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This is who you are in Christ. Now, as we know, we can hide it. We can ignore it. We can, hide it under a bushel. Hide our light under a basket rather than shining it in this sin-darkened world. But it is who we are in Christ Jesus. And so we are called to live the life that he has called you to. Living daily in this world as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Living daily in this world as those who have been forgiven. Living daily in this world with this light that our world so desperately needs, just as we so desperately need it. You are God's gift to the world. I know it sounds funny to hear that, to think about that, and you think, me? Really? I think you got the wrong person. But you are God's gift to the world, his instrument to shine his light. Live that life that he's called you to, and live it out daily in your life. Live it out daily in your vocation. It doesn't require, as we've said many times from up here, it doesn't require, going into full-time ministry, being a pastor or a full-time missionary or whatever it might be. But it's shining that light wherever the Lord has placed you in your daily vocations. Showing Christ to the world, showing Christ to the nations as you live out your life as a husband or father, as a mother or wife, as a friend, as a brother, as a co-worker, as an employer, as a student, as a grandparent, wherever the Lord has called you, as a neighbor, living out your life in Christ. You are the way that God shines his light in this world. You are the way that he seasons the world with salt and brings his light into that darkness so that that long winding road leading to destruction is lit up and people see the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe you don't feel very salty or very bright. I know some of you are very salty, but that's another type of stuff. But maybe you don't feel very salty or very bright. Maybe you don't feel like you measure up to what you're supposed to be doing or what the Lord has already said you are. And we're to be reminded every single day that we are looking not to ourselves for this light, not to ourselves to be the ones that this brightness, this that shines through, but looking to the true light of the world. Every day we're to be at the foot of the cross. Every day we're to sit at the foot of the cross and recognize, Lord, I failed. Lord, I fall into temptation. I did this and did that. And Lord, I ignored my neighbor. I've not loosed the bonds of wickedness or let the oppressed go free. As we heard in our first reading, I have not shared bread with the hungry. I have not brought homeless into your house, and so on and so on. We confess our sins. And there the light of the world reminds us who you are. Reminds us that we are forgiven children of God. Reminds us that we are those who belong to him and that it's his light that is shining through us. So don't despair when you're rightly accused by the devil of your sinfulness, of your lack of brightness, but admit it. And then remember who you are in Jesus Christ, the light of the world who has said you belong to me and you are my shining lights in this world. So shine the light of Christ. Be who you are. And what does that mean? Well, we heard some of that as we look at that first reading, those words that we just heard about loving our neighbor, of helping those who are in need, of caring for each other, bearing the burdens of each other, encouraging one another, showing compassion to one another, doing things in integrity and honesty and love and care for all people, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So let your light shine. Let the light shine in and through you in the midst of the darkness and the hopelessness in this world. Be who you already are in Christ Jesus. You might say, I was thinking of this line, and I'm drawing a blank on what movie it's from at the moment, but there's this line from a movie that says, talking about a product. Oh, I know what it is. It's from Tommy Boy. Anyone remember Tommy Boy? And they're talking about a product, and he says, this is what we do because this is who we are. And as Christians, we let the light of Christ shine in and through us. We love and we serve our neighbor. We lighten this community. We share Christ. This is what we do because this is who we are through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen.